Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Well, good evening again. Sometimes when I speak, I spend a long time on the introduction, and that's actually going to be the case tonight. A long time on the introduction. And then when I get to the part of the Christmas story, I just didn't want you concerned that that same amount of time in the introduction I'm going to take for the Christmas story. So once we get to the Christmas story, don't feel that you've actually come to midnight mass. We're going to wrap things up pretty quickly once we get there. But the introduction to the message, O Holy Night, it starts, as any good Christmas Eve introduction would, with Batman and Robin. I don't know what shows you grew up with, but I grew up with watching the old series with Adam West and Burt Ward playing Batman and Robin, and then they had a zany cast of arch criminals. But one of the things that Robin the Boy Wonder would often say, he would say holy, and then he would add other things to it, but regularly he would say holy. I remember Batman climbing down out of his helicopter near the ocean, and a shark came up and bit him on the leg, and Robin would cry out, "Holy sardines, Batman!" I remember when Batman, Bruce Wayne, was dating a girl and discovered that she was actually Catwoman, and Robin would cry, "Holy heartbreak, Batman!" But Robin just continued to cry, "Holy, holy, holy," just all kinds of things. I don't know what you think of when you think of the word holy. Hopefully not a mackerel. I have no idea how a mackerel ever got holy. I don't know about smoke. I don't even know what a moly is. And I know that Moses, at least the people of God in the time of Moses, got in trouble with a holy cow. When I was thinking about Moses, you know, he recently was seen, I don't know if it was the airport in Atlanta or Chicago, one of the two. He was spotted by former President George W. Bush. George W. was in the airport, let's say it was Chicago. It was in Chicago airport, no hair. And he saw a man that he thought, this must be Moses. And looked at him, you know, he had the robes on. He had a staff, he had a long beard, long hair, didn't have the Ten Commandments with him, but he thought, this guy really looks like Moses. How can this be? This is a miracle. So he went up to him and he tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, are you Moses?" And Moses, I think, he looked at him and he just walked right away. And George W. thought, well, how rude. Well, must not have been him. And a little while later in the airport, he sees him again and he goes up to him and he taps him on the shoulder. Says, "Excuse me, are you Moses?" And this time he looks at the former president and he runs away. Well, George W. still had a security detail with him, and so he sent them after him and said, "Go get that guy." And so they went and brought him to him, and former president George W. said to him, "Are you Moses?" And without uttering a word, he just nodded. He said, "Why won't you talk to me?" He said, "The last time I talked to a bush, I wandered in the wilderness 40 years." Oh, wow. It's actually about Moses and the burning bush that I wanted to just, what a segue, hey, that I wanted to talk to you just for a moment about. You might remember in Exodus chapter 3 how Moses is in the wilderness. He sees a bush burning and it's not consumed. It grabs his attention. He turns and looks. God speaks to him. And when God speaks to him, he tells him to do something. Do you remember what he tells him to do? Take off. Take off your shoes, take off your sandals, you're standing on holy ground. But actually, and that's often what we remember with the burning bush, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. But God actually said something before that. He said this, Exodus 3:5, it says this, "Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. It's absolutely amazing that God's presence made the dirt holy. Where you are is holy ground. And I believe tonight God's presence is here, and this is holy ground, and we're going to talk about that. I love that Moses is now standing barefoot in the dirt, in full connection with where he came from. Scripture talks about how God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into him and became a living being. From dust you have come, from dust you shall return. But he says, do not draw near. And that really is the message of holiness. Do not draw near. Don't draw near. Stand back. Do not touch. The word holy means apartness, or it means separateness. It means sacred. Sometime later, Moses will have led the people of God out of slavery and out of bondage. They'll come to a mountain, Mount Sinai. And God will say this as he's about to give Moses the Ten Commandments, as Moses is going to send up the mountain and meet with God. God is going to come down. His presence is going to be made known right on the mountain. There's going to be thunder and lightning and flashes and earthquake and a trumpet sound. But he tells Moses and the people, for Moses, he says, put a barrier, put a guard around the mountain, lest the people come and touch it and die. Place a barrier there, a fence. Don't come close. And then when Moses is allowed to ascend and meet with God, and the thunder and the lightning and the trumpet sound, the people run away. And they say to Moses, you meet with God and tell us what he said. We get it. God is holy. Don't come near. Some churches, when we had a church building, and we're about to have another one, but we the main room that we met in, we would call a sanctuary. Or pending on what was happening, a multi-purpose room. But often a main room in a church building is called a sanctuary. Now, there are some churches where, and perhaps you've been in them, where there's an area where the congregation sits, and then there's what we call an altar rail. And then on the other side of the altar rail, there's a big table. It's an altar. It's where the priest ministers. But there's this separation, and so the whole room isn't called a sanctuary. Where the people sit is called a nave. And then there's this altar rail, and then there's the sanctuary, separating what is holy, apart, sacred. It's very interesting in both the Old Testament and New Testament. We get a moment where it's as if the heavens part, or the clouds part, and we get to peek into heaven. It happens in Isaiah, and happens in the book of Revelation. And there's angels, and they cry this. And they ascribe this to the Lord. They say this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Old Testament and New Testament, God doesn't change. He's holy all the way through. Holy, holy, holy. Now, there are things that Scripture will talk about holy, set apart for holy purposes, items. But never in Scripture does it say about anything other than God, anyone other than God, holy, holy, holy. Apart, separate, sacred. His apartness, holy, 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 Father, Son, and Spirit, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And I want to ask you tonight, how hard would it have been? How hard would it have been for the people of God who understood holy, who understood do not touch, who understood be separate, who understood do not draw near, who understood holy? How difficult would it have been for them to make any sense out of Jesus? For when Jesus came, he called God his Father, and yet he ate with tax collectors and sinners. When he came, he touched a leprous man. He didn't just heal him, which he could have with a word, but he touched him. At one point, Jesus is reclining at a table, the home of a Pharisee, lots of people all around. A very grateful woman comes in She pours oil on Jesus' feet and begins to wash his feet with her hair and her tears. And the Pharisee will look at others and he'll say this about Jesus: if this man truly were a prophet, he's saying, if he truly were holy, he would know what manner of woman is touching him, for she is a sinner. Jesus touched people. Jesus allowed people to touch him. And he talks about holiness? I don't think so. He taught his disciples to pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. He got that right. Holy is your name. But then the people he hung out with and the places he went, I don't think so. See, they understood what holy meant: be separate. They understood, don't draw near, don't touch, this is holy. They understood, keep the Sabbath holy. Don't carry your mat on the Sabbath. I don't care who healed you, don't touch this day. It's holy. There's 6 other days of the week to be healed. Don't eat that. Even the thought of it makes me sick. Don't touch that. Don't fellowship with people outside of the covenant. The covenant that God established with his people, a covenant sealed in blood, the blood of Abraham and every male of his household, that distinguished us as separate from them. Get away from them. And yet Jesus said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God looks like? Look at me. And Jesus helped us reframe not so much what holiness means, because that didn't change. Holy, God is holy. But he helped us transition from don't touch, stand back, step away, come away, to this: come close and let me cleanse you. Come close and let me heal you. Come close, let me forgive you. Come close, let me make you whole. Come close, let me make you holy. After Jesus ascended to the Father, one of his very best friends wrote about him. Certainly we have the gospel according to John, but he wrote another letter, and it's that letter that I'd like to just spend a brief moment with you on this Christmas Eve. Look through 9 verses, and then we'll come pretty close to the Christmas story. But John writes this. He's an eyewitness of the account. He writes this in this letter called 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1. It says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He's talking about Jesus. Excuse me, talking about Jesus. The word of life. In his gospel, he will say, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He'll unfold for us that when he's talking about the word, he's talking about Jesus. He will say, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he tells us here, as an eyewitness, the word of life, Jesus, in whom life is, the one who has the words of eternal life, the one who has come to give us life, the word of life. He's saying, we saw him, we heard him, and even though he was perfect holiness, we touched him. Verse 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that the eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. He said there's a revelation that took place. Life came and was revealed to us. Jesus, who was with the Father, was manifest, revealed. Excuse me. Disclosed. Verse 3. And that which we have seen and heard, this eyewitness testimony of Jesus, that's which we have seen and heard and declare to you. And then John writes this that would shake and rattle their world as it does us, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. This word of life has been revealed that we might have relationship with God and true relationship with one another. This revelation, this unveiling of Jesus, of he who is life, that we might have fellowship, we might have a restored relationship and true relationship with one another. And then he says this, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full, that your joy might be full. And this is the message, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Remember, we're talking about God's holiness. It says this, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There's not even a shadow of darkness. Pure, holy. Yes, we get that. But watch what he says now. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It doesn't work. It's incongruent. This God of light, to say we have relationship with him and then live as if we don't, it doesn't work. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. How do we do that? Right, we want to walk in the light. We want to walk with God. We want to walk in close relationship with the one who created us and loves us so much. How do we do that in our own? We struggle with our own humanity and our own sinfulness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we want to. How do we do that? We have fellowship with one another. It's the relationship that takes place. And watch it. Here's the answer. In the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son cleanses us from all sin. There it is. This is what this invitation to holiness, to invitation to walk with God is about, is there's a cleansing that takes place because of what Jesus has done. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We think, oh, we're just okay. Then it's impossible to have that kind of relationship. And we're deceived. But watch this. John makes it so very, very simple. Verse 9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's just all we need to do, is we need to confess our sin. It's that simple. It's that easy. And then he cleanses us, and then we walk with him. What holiness looks like, it's not don't touch, stand afar. Instead, it's walk with God. Draw near because of what Jesus has done. Not because of how holy we try to be, because I certainly can't do that. But we accept his holiness. We walk with him. We ask him to forgive us and cleanse us. He declares us to be holy. Now, remember we talked about holiness, apartness, separateness, sacredness. He declares us to be holy, and we're separated from condemnation. We're separated from judgment. We're separated from sin. We're forgiven and we're clean. Now watch. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The world in sin and error pining, the world longing for things to be different, the world wasting away in sin and the consequences of sin, with no hope, with no way to get right with God, with no way to make things better on our own. Sin separates us from a holy God. But he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. But he appeared, and the soul didn't feel condemnation, and the soul didn't feel judgment. The soul felt its worth because God so loves us that he sent his Son. You are so very, very precious to him. Some people will say, well, I'm not worthy. Fair enough. We're not worthy, but we're not worthless. We're priceless. God loves us so much that he sent his son for us to save us from our unholiness. For there is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide us in the path of peace. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshiped him. We started our night talking about Moses and holy ground and how God's presence makes the ground holy. And we believe God's presence is here tonight. And so this is holy ground. And it wasn't the only dirt that God made holy as Moses was standing there. But as I talked about Adam being made out of the dust of the earth, God can make us holy. If he can do that with dirt, he can do that with us. And this same holy God invites you to walk with him, to draw near to him, not because of your own holiness, not because of our own righteousness, but because of his, and he invites us into that. So we can be declared holy even tonight. And it's just so very simple. And anyone can do this, to simply say, I'm sorry and please and thank you. I'm sorry as God, I'm sorry for my sin. And sometimes we say that and we think, well, there's this thing in my life. I wish I hadn't done that. There's this in my life. Or it's just, man, everything. I'm just sorry. Start to finish, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, please. Would you please come into my life and forgive me? Because we believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, that he paid the penalty for our sin. Please forgive me. And we don't stop there because we believe that he does that. And we say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. If you'd like to be declared holy tonight, I'm going to lead us in a prayer and invite you to pray it with me. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Jesus, we gather here tonight in your presence, and we come to you. Would you, church, just take a moment and just, for whatever sin might be in your life, would you just say sorry? Lord, please forgive me. If it's a thought, if it's an action, if it's a habit, if it's a lifestyle, if it's an attitude, if it's a mindset, if it's a choice, Lord, would you please forgive us? Please come into my life fully and in every area. If this is the first time you're praying this, first time in a long time, or you're just again surrendering your life to the Lord, say, Lord Jesus, please come and fill my life in every area. Spirit, soul, mind, and body, just fill me, Lord, with your presence. Wash away all the gunk, wash away all the dirt, wash away all the sin. That you would just declare me to be holy, cleansed, forgiven in your presence. And as you do that, Lord Jesus, we just say thank you. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.